Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 brothers and sisters, right there. We got to fulfill the Amor, the Torah readings for Shabbat Amor. Got the Haftarah. Prophets read right here, as well as the Brit Chadasha. So that was a little bit of an overflow right there. Hopefully ones and ones who can tune in will be tuning in. Rastafari Israelites, Rastafari Foundation. Here we're on the Blog Talk Radio. Yes, I. So Shabbat Amor, the rules and regulations, directions, instructions for the priests, for the priesthood. Speaking of the Aaronic, according to the Aaronic, you know, to keep it Aaronic. But going to the groundation from Melchizedek right here, here, here. Yes, I. First day service.
Is the one fit, and me happy try this one away. Yes, them love to big up them set, yeah, them they in not slavery. Them can't have no food without no money. So
Malkia Serek Ameleka Shalin Shalin Hosia Lechem Wa Yayin Yayin Wikua Kohena Lehel Elion Elion Waya Arkehua Wayomer Baruch Avram Lehel Elion Kone Shamai Wa Arek Arua Baruch El Elion Asherra Sherra Migen Reka, reka, re, yade, yade, waitena, la uwa, mala, esera, And Melchizedek, King of Salam, 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 Malkias, Ereka, Meleka, Shalim, Shalim, Wolf of Bread and Wine, Hotsia, Lechema, Wayayi, Wayayi, and he was priest of God the Most High, Wuhu, Kohena, Lit'el, Elyon, Elyon, and he blessed him, Wayavarkehu, and said, Wayomar, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, Baruch Avram, Lit'el, Elyon, maker, possessor, maker of heaven and earth, Kone, Shamayi, Wa'aret, and blessed be God the Most High, Ubaruch El Elyon Asher Nigena Areka 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 Yadeka Why Iten Lau Ma Ise Ise Who hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand? And he gave him a tenth, a tithe, a tithe, a tithe, a tithe. Umalkias Ereka Meleka Shalim Hotsi Lechema Vayayin Wuhua Kohen Le'el Elyon Waya Barke Hua Wayomer Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon One Shamayim Wa Aret Ua Baruch El Elyon Asherem Gena Areka Yadeka Wayden Lalu Ma Eser Mikol, Mikol, Mikol,
Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tawab, Shavua Tov, Shavua, Shavua, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days.
Grab me and the youth are tried one away. Melt
Melchizedek way. Yeah. So if you see me and the youths, I'm trodding to the earth, we have to try the King Selassie way. Yeah, yeah. Trodding this one away. Happy try this one away. Yeah, yeah. Them same 50, 60, 70 big, and me slew them off in space and one day. Well then, you see, the people in the West, see one of them gone crazy. Love to big up the best, yet them they in a slavery. Them can't yam no poor without no money. So foolish is the man in fruitful. I tell you, take it. Cleanse your ways, clean up your heart. Get to you, nobody gave me say, oh, no, for this heart. Babylon has been stolen heart. Them done dead, them peace and no heart to war. That's why we come to throw this one away. Melchizedek way. Yeah. So if you see on the youth, them trending through to earth, me trending king, 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 the last way. Well then, you see, the prime ministers know what I belong. Centralization and Emperor Selassie is an Ethiopian reign in the heart and flesh. From Mount Zion me come to every Israelite. Out of Babylon show me how it's the port for repatriation. No put no more talk, no bother kill no younger one. So rise and take your stand, you better know where people. Selassie is the almighty man, confuse not your heart. Them side me servant, conspiracies are talk. Emmanuel so I told me. We have been this one away. That's the first and only way. Hey, so if you see I and the youth, them trodding to that King Alpha and Omega way. Well then, the whole of them holy secretive, but they want me one now. But them corners and them crevices, what attitude they show. I need to see every youth grow. Live it up, come make it reason and flow. Happy try this one away. Hey, hey. Them 70, 60, 70,000 me slaughter them in space and one day. You see, my said the people them in the West, the whole of them gone crazy. Yet them love to big up them set, yet them there in a slavery. Them can't have no poor without no money. So foolish is the man in food full time and yet him hungry. So clean up your ways, cleanse up your heart. You some other gifts because I own no first me start.
Without apology, Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
World and they that
the world and they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea,
he had born and he done the sea,
and established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean
hands
and a pure heart.
And heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity,
nor scorned his people.
He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. Generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say who?
Emperor Ili Eyes, Selassie Eyes.
Mighty
lift up your head, Zoe Gates, Eve lift them up.
Oh, lift up your
ye everlasting doors.
Be ye lifted up.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory. Yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory? The He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Rastafari. He is the King of Glory.
If thou is by my side, I won't hide. No, I won't hide.
Ethiopia. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah, Selah. Founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 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 Selah.
Kadamawi. Kadamawi. Inflasya.
The whole place is due for
Book of
Kadamawi. Kadamawi. Inflasya.
The whole place is due for
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Bachar B'Nebiim Tobim Veratzach B'Debreihim HaNe'amarim Be'emet Baruch atah Adonai HaBocher B'Torah U'Moshe Abdo ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Torah is the law. Rastafari is the law.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 15 to verse 31. Blessed my Abba, Wabalev, my Blessed Kadus, Ahadum Lak. But the Kohen, the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel, the Bani Israel, went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me. They shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, saith the sovereign Yahweh. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even to the utter court, to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister, and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not mingle among the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their head, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only hold their head. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Yisrael, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Shabbat. Jah, and they shall come to no dead person to defile themselves, but for their father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that have had no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon to him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, to the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer a sin offering, saith the sovereign Yahweh. And it shall be to them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. First of all, the fruits of the things and every oblation of all and every sort of your oblation shall be the priest, the Kohen. He shall also give to the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessings to rest in thine house, thine bed. The Kohen, the priest, shall not eat anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beef. Amen.
Lesson here, baby. You come at the king, you best not miss.
Rastafari, Dalmatia. Rastafari, Dalmatia. Ever living, ever faithful. Ever sure. Ever living, ever faithful. Ever sure. Yeah, he's the only king of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our only future. Yeah, he's the only king of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our only future. Yeah, he's the only king of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our only future. Hey, yo! Hey, yo!
All right, the law.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabaruch Shel Habarik HaChadasha. Baruch atah Adonai Notain Habarik HaChadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the Universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 31. Amor, say, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, with Habin, with Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. Asher nigashtem alayo el eben chaya asher masuba b'nei ha'adam wehiya nibhara weyikara le'elohim. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua HaMashiach, by Jesus Christ. Vegam atem ka'abanim chayot nibneitem l'mishkan haruach l'khunat kodesh l'ha'alot zibchei ruach l'ratzon l'elohim b'Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Wezeh hu she'amar ha'ketub hineni yisad b'tiyon eben pina eben bochan v'yakara v'hama'amin ba lo yebosh. To you, therefore, that believe, he is precious. But to them that be disobedient, the stone that the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Lakin lakem ha-ma'amanim kia eben ha-yikar abal la-sorarim ha-eben asher masu ha-bonim ha-yita le-rosh pina. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. Ule ben negev ule tzur mishkol wehem nishkelu ya'an lo shemau la davar ule zot gam noadu. Part 2. The believer's life in view of his sevenfold position and of the vicarious suffering of Mashiach. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Ve'atem hinakim zera nibchar mamleket kohanim ve'goy kadosh ve'am segula lema'an tisavru tihilot ha'kore etkem mechoshek el oro hanifla.
That in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Asher lipanim lo am, hitem wata am Elohim. Asher lipanim lo ruchamo wata meruchamim.
Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakedamawi, chayle salase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power, Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Yesai, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
We'll always be the head cornerstone. In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, an exalted power to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, himself, himself.
Put your hands together. Welcome with me into the Bing Lounge this afternoon, Mr. Stephen Marley.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon, Fort Aragon. How is everyone? Thank you, thank you. So we're going to jam a few tunes, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's be good. Some ears fall deaf.
them hear the call. In the name of the God of his own mind, no man is wrong. So who'll cast the first stone? 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 Stayed out in dead at bay. Stayed up at a bay. Some say them hard, yeah. Judge, I know them soft. A lazy sheep thinks its wool is heavy, but he's lifeless without fault. Some ears fall deaf, but some of them hear the call. In the name of the God of his own mind, yeah. No man is wrong. So who'll cast the first stone? Who'll cast the first stone?
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
plans get burned, but I know, as I said, just say, the truest resurrection is spiritually, and the key to the comfort is to pray the word, knowing not just believing how the prophecy revealing with a new name. King Rastafari, weak heart a tremble when they bear its own new name. Power of the Trinity, Lion of Judah, return to the throne with a new name. King Rastafari, weak heart a tremble when they bear its own new name. Haile Selassie, I fly on of Judah, return to the throne. And prepare them for the present day with the word and the example of his imperial majesty, the new name. King Rastafari, we heart a tremble when they bear its own new name. Power of the Trinity, Lion of Judah, return to the throne with that new name. King Rastafari,
crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified. You see, I-N-R-I, I Negus, rule his...
But, before I get into that, I want to get into this particular prayer. Let me tell you about the mindset of a people who has had a horrendous death, true death.
Yes. Horrendous death, true death, on July 23rd, which is key, that's the African New Year, in ancient Kemet and the rising of Sirius. So we also have some type of conspiracy going on. I'll get into it in a few seconds. But I just want to talk about this. But before I get into that, I want to get into this particular prayer. Let me tell you about the mindset of a people who have had a horrendous death, true death. Yes, horrendous death, true death, on July 23rd, which is key, that's the African New Year in ancient Kemet and the rising of Sirius. So we also have some type of conspiracy going on. I'll get into it in a few seconds. But I just want to talk about this.
In this 31st is the role of the Hebrew, we could say the Israelite, the role of the Israelite Kohen, the Kohen, the priest. What's the role of the Hebrew Kohen, the priest? It was to help others, to help the Bnei Yisrael, the Beta Israel, draw near to Ha'el, to Ha'ilahim. So one of the reasons is to discuss how Adonenu Yeshua, Yeshua HaMoshiach, how the King of Kings Christ fulfills this role as I, as our Kohen Gadol, as I, High Priest of the Brit Chadasha, of the New Covenant, the Renewed Covenant. One of the reasons to be brought out right here, here, here. But now, as we pick up with this 31st sabbatical study here, and here on the first day right here, Melkam Ehud, beautiful, good first day, Shabua is the week in Hebrew, to say seven, actually it's the 7 days, speaking about the 7 days. Even when we say the Shabbat, especially from the instruction that we get in Leviticus chapter 23, where it speaks to us, it says, count seven Shabbats complete, counting seven Sabbaths Shabbats complete. Very interesting, counting seven Sabbaths. So the Sabbath is seen as the full Shabua, right, from the Sheba, seven. So now, in this Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat Emor Senbet Bile, according to the Metz Kedus, the Book of the Seven Seals, His Majesty's Bible, Senbet Bile, Bile in the Royal Amharic, corresponding to the Emor, to say, right? This pertains exclusively here, right, to the direction instructions, the Torahs, or the direction instruction to HaKohani, to the priests of Yisrael. Now, how many priests do we have here? We had Aaron, the high priest, Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and then when they were consecrated previously in the previous Torah readings and feedings, roughly before Pesach this year, right? When they were consecrated, there was four sons. Now, two of them had got burnt because they had offered strange fire, and they had acted without instruction. They had acted without instruction. No doubt, the children of Israel in Mitzrayim and Kemet, you know, were used to different ways of sacrificing. And also note this right here, that it's the priests who are the mediators, so to speak, right, of the offering. Before we come to here with HaTorah, with the covenant to the sons of Israel, the firstborn sons and the males of the households, they had that right or that honor, right, to offer offerings. But now in the covenant, they had to offer their offerings through HaKohanim, through the priests, and through the Kohen Gadol, through the high priest. Now, the high priest is anointed, and the Kohanim, his sons, speaking of Aaron and his sons, so those who are descendant of Aharon, according to the Brit HaYishana, according to, we can say, the Old Covenant, right, or the Torah Covenant, because we have the Renewed Covenant. And this is why we study this here, to see how it was fulfilled, right, according to the testimony we have in the Brit Chadasha. But the direction instructions here is to the sons of Aharon. Here we have two sons. We have Yitamar and Eleazar, who were burnt, Nadav and Abihu. So basically the instructions here initially was to the two sons of Aharon that were serving as priests. Right? And then as we move forward to, say, chapter 23, we get the Mo'edei Yahuwah. We get the feasts, the festivals, the appointments, the appointed times of Jehovah. Right? And there the key word is speak to who? Speak to the B'nai Yisrael. Speak to the sons of Israel. Speak to the children of Israel. This is important because as we start to ask some questions, I know there's a question about the whole flat nose thing, you know, and you know, when we talk about one who could be here says, oh, ones who are flat nosed, how that's racist. Is it? Is it really? What is really meant by that? It's like when it says that Jehovah, he is long-suffering. The literal Hebrew, the direct Hebrew says he's long-nosed. Are we to take this in the literal sense, right, the physical sense, or the second of the two truths? So we're going to get into some of those questions, John Willing, but here just going over some of the basics right here, because who is speaking, the who, what, where, why, when, and who is being spoken to. Now, previously in this Shavua, which the previous week we have fulfilled with the previous Shabbat, the Shabbat day here at the first day. First day we begin the count anew here, and we will be counting here, Jah willing, the fourth of the seven Shabbats that we are commanded according to Leviticus chapter 23 to count complete to the harvest time known as Shavuot and called Pentecost Day to the harvest feast. In the Brit Chadasha sense, in the new and the living way, this brings us to the Feast of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Feast of the Holy Spirit that we have testified in Acts, even Acts of the Apostles. Now, we touched on the basic synopsis, the overview for this Shabbat, Shabbat Emor, Sabbath Say, comprising Leviticus chapter 21 to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 23. Touch on some of the basic, the general questions previously, and there's 28 of them. So we're going to pick up right here from question 13 to question 28 for a moment as ones and ones, hopefully, if they have the opportunity, you know, getting themselves, you know, ready, calling in or checking out Rastafari Israelites or checking it out even the next day. Hopefully, you know, the pods will be available. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here we have some basic questions right here, right, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. Yes, one West, as we said, Ethiopian.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of...
Here, we have question 13 to question 28, right? Question 13 to question 28 concerning this Shabbat Emor. Shabbat Emor. All right, Sabbath Emor. Now, one of the themes here, let's just bring this up right here. One of the themes here is concerning the appointed times, concerning the calendar, concerning the feast, the festival, concerning the true church in the wilderness. But here, picking up question number 13 for Shabbat Emor, what is the first holy day, holiday mentioned in this Torah reading and feeding? What is the first holy day? Holy, let's put into applicable terms, right? Set apart day. What's the first set apart day mentioned in this Torah, in this direction instruction, in the portion here, in the manna, the angel's bread? We have it as Shabbat. Shabbat is regarded as the chief holy day, the chief Isla day. We call this, from some of the elders that shared this with us, it's like the test command. right? It's like the test command. If you can keep the Shabbat set apart, right, then as you grow in grace to recognize the holy days, the other appointments, there are at least 50 weekly Sabbaths, right, in I sabbatical year, in the Judaic year. There's at least 50 Sabbaths, right, and about 54 Torah readings and feeding, but 50 Shabbats in the Hebraic, in the Judaic year. Question 14, what is the name of the first month, the first moon in the, let's ask this two ways right here. In a modern sense, people will say, well, what is the first month of the Jewish year? The first month of the nowadays Jewish year would be Nisan. Nisan, and we say the Jews are speaking about the Yehudi, the Yehudim, especially those who have returned from Persia and from Babylon after that 70 years with Ezra and Nehemiah, so forth and so on. Because when they return, you know, they spent 70 years in Babylon, and they, you could say, adopted or adapted some of the Babylonian month names, such as Nisan, Nisan. So in the modern sense of the, quote, Jewish, quote, end quote, year, the first month, they would say, and ones would say, is Nisan. But now let's ask the question the more Torah observant way. What is the name of the first moon, the first month of the Hebrew year, of the Hebrew ecclesiastical, the churchical year, or we can ask it as what's the first month of the Israelite year according to Torah. According to Torah, it is Abib. Abib. Abib often is referred to as spring. Abib. Like we say Abebe. Abeba. Like Addis Abeba. Because here we have an Afro-Asiatic, Afro-Semitic linguistic connection right here. As we say, Abeba, flower, right? And Abebe, to spring forward, to bud forth. We have Abib. Abib is even directly mentioned in the Torah, A-B-I-B. In modern Hebrew, it is referred to as, or pronounced as, Aviv, right? Aviv, from the, we could say, the Eastern, you know, the Eastern European mother tongue, they will say Aviv. From our Afro-Asiatic mother tongue, we say Abib. Hebrew is Afro-Asiatic, Afro-Semitic. Abib. Now, this usually falls or rises and occurs, Abib, the springtime, roughly around March, April, the March, April time of the Gregorian calendar. We'll say to refer to a good lunar calendar for the exact time in the season and the year in question. So the first month or moon, according to the Hebrew and according to Torah, is Abib. Abib. Now, Abib, as we mentioned before, it is the barley. The barley. It refers to the barley, the flowering of the barley. Right? The barley is the first to grow. Question 15. What are the three required pilgrimage festivals? Pilgrimage festivals, Hebraically, is known as the Shalosh Regalim. Shalosh Regalim. Shalosh means three. Regalim means feet from the regal. Regal is a foot. Regalim is feet. Why is it called 3 feet? Right? Is it a measurement, 3 feet? No. It's the three times in the year I and I make tracks, according to properly keeping our covenantal responsibilities. In this chapter 23, it says, you know, three times in a year shall all of the males of Yisrael present themselves. In other words, three times in a year, according to the covenantal terms and conditions, we will present ourselves and offer an offering to the landlord, right, to the Lord, the master of the land, whose land he has given to Jah people covenantally. What are the three required pilgrimage festivals? The Shalosh Regalim. Regalim, the feet there is like making tracks, trod. The three trods, the 3 feet. The three of them are Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Something interesting we notice in the King Messiah, and Amawi Haile Selassie, the greater David, the greater son, something we notice that's interesting in his the autobiography. Because when giving certain direction instructions, as Rastafari, we have this in chapter 4, He says, for the three annual festivals, speaking to the children of the Ethiopians here, on page 41 of Hiwateanaya Ethiopia Rimja, My Life in Ethiopia's Progress, Emperor Haile Selassie I, his autobiography, book one. On page 41, it says this, for the three annual festivals. Oh, before we even get to the three annual festivals in this proclamation in chapter four of His Majesty's autobiography of the conquering line, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the King of Kings of Ethiopia, his autobiography here. In the first part of the proclamation on page 40, he says this, it's a highlight, not to read the whole thing here, but to zoom in. He says, hitherto, so here we have the man-child, right, according to Revelation, the man-child caught up to Yahuwah and to his throne, Ras Teferi, giving direction, instructions, right? He says, hitherto work on the Sabbath was forbidden. He said, before this time, work on the Shabbat was forbidden. So when we say the Israelites of Ethiopia and we share this, it's not just sharing something that does not have its show and prove.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel,
Hitherto, here too, like before now, work on the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the Senbet, was forbidden. Now, he's speaking to those who he's speaking to, now you will, in fact, be punished when found working on HaShabbat, when found working on the Senbet. Now, in this same Awaj in the Royal Amharic, right, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, turning to Ainai, that refined, that pure language. Here we have Senbet, and here we have the Awaj, this proclamation. In the same proclamation, speaking to some of the Lokwaners and other people who are responsible for, you know, certain areas, you know, basically regulating their service, how much they were to, you know, receive for their service, and basically telling them to look out for thieves and brigands in the country and, you know, what to do on the benefit for the people, those who were in charge. Almost like what we have here in HaTorah, right? Speaking to the priests, speaking to the Levites, speaking to the rank and file Israelites, speaking to Moses, speaking to Aharon, speaking to the priests, his sons, the anointed ones. Here, His Majesty says in the same word sound, he both points to the three times in the year and he points to the Sabbath. It's almost as though in the Awaj, he is reflecting the same first principles that we have in Leviticus chapter 23. So the Shabbat, right, the Shabbat is the first of the holy days, the first of the set apart days. And then we have the seven feasts. And here, His Majesty says, for the three annual festivals, here the translator translates it as Meskel, or some might misread the phonetics as Maskal, but Meskel, the finding of the true cross. Here it has Lidet, or in the translation Christmas, but Lidet. And here in the translation they have Easter, but in the original it says Fasica. You know, Fasica, Pesah, Passover. So here we both have the injunction of Ras Tefari to keep the Sabbath, how work on the Sabbath was forbidden, and now those who he spoke to would be punished when they were found working on the Sabbath. And then at the end of this Awaj proclamation made on the 21st of July, 1913, he reminds them of the three annual festivals, here mentioned as Meskel, Lidet, and Fasica, and Pesah. So here for question 15 for this Shabbat Emor, what are the three required pilgrim festivals? Shalosh Regalim, they are Passover, Pesah, Shabuot, Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and Sukkot, Booths, Tabernacles, or Huts. Question 16, Chavarim, what is the Omer offering? What is the Omer offering, or the Karban, the Karban HaOmer, HaOmer. Now, there's an interesting reasonment when we look at the word Amor and we look at the word Omer. I'd like to touch on the word Amor and the word Omer. What's the meaning? What's the metaphysics of it? As well as the name Omar, Omar, since we know that Amor means to speak. Now, here the Omer, what is the Omer offering? It's the wave, a wave offering that's presented on the day right after Pesach, right after the Shabbat of Pesach, that livicates, right, that livicates and points to the coming harvest to Jehovah. No new food from the harvest. And the new food is referred to as the chadash. Like we say, adis, adis, right? Adas, adis, chadash. No new food, chadash, may be eaten until the ceremonial offering has been made. So it was to be the practice of Yisrael, especially in the land, right, that when the harvest would begin and Pesah and Bikurim, that no of the new food would be eaten before first offering the offering to Jehovah, to Yisrael's landlord, and giving thanks. Question 17, what is the Omer count? What is the Omer count? What is Sefirat, the Sefirat HaOmer? Sefirat, 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 cipher, to count, to number, to tell. Sefirat, the counting of HaOmer. What is the Omer, right? So we're going to look up and point this out to the Chaverim in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Check out Omri, the name Omri, O-M-R-I, Omri, right, Omri. And also refer to Omar, Omar, O-M-A-R, here especially for this Amor. So what is the Omer count? Sefirat HaOmer. It is a 49-day countdown, or actually we could call it a count up, right? A 49-day count, right? 2 sevens clash, right? 7 days of the Shavuah, of the week, right? And 7 Shabbats, counting 7 Shabbats complete. A 49-day countdown that leads to the feast, the festival, to the Moed, to the appointment of Shabuot on the 50th day. Because Torah says this right here, and this has a lot to do with the first day, as here, this is the first day service, a.k.a. also referred to as the Sunday service. Now, we say Sunday service in grace. Right, in grace, because Hebraically we did not refer to the first day as Sunday. That's the Gentiles, other nation, other peoples, right? We refer to the first day and basically to every day by the number that the day be. The only day that kind of gets a particular name, we could say Hebraically, is HaShabbat, is the Sabbath day, is the rest day. So the 49-day count, 2 sevens clash. After HaHekal, after the temple of Yerushalayim was destroyed circa 70 AD, the countdown, or we could say the count, is meant to express excitement, right? So when we talk about the 2 sevens Hebraically clash, counting 7 Shabbats complete, especially from the Yom, right, from the day of the Bikurim, right, of the first fruits. It is meant after 70 AD, and the temple, the Hekal, the Beit Mikdash, was destroyed, the 2 sevens clash, the 49-day count, is meant to express excitement for the revelation of HaTorah. Traditionally, that is associated with this date. So when we look at Shavuot, another meaning of harvest is when the Torah was given. HaTorah, right, was given at the time that Torah was given. This corresponded with the harvest time. So the harvest feast and the Shavuot festival is connected with the giving of HaTorah on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai. So it's interesting, overstanding that according to the church in the wilderness here in HaTorah, and then zooming forward to the upper room of Zion with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that harvest there. So we have Yeshua, right, the first, we could say, the first from the dead, resurrected from the dead, right, the first of the brethren, and then those who are of Moshiach. So we have Moshiach, like Aharon, is the type of Messiah, the anointed, the high priest, with the resurrection of Yeshua, right? Then we have the harvest and the resurrection of the brethren and the sisterin, especially in the upper room of Zion. So this is what the count is all about. And Shavuot, harvest, right? The harvest, the Feast of Weeks, is also connected with the Book of Ruth. So ones and ones can get, you know, up ahead and start to read and study the Book of Ruth. It's one of the readings, especially as we come here to Shavuot, and also the giving of HaTorah. So as we counting the count, right, after Passover, 50 days, 50 days after the exodus from Mitzrayim, did they reach Har Sinai and the giving of HaTorah, just to make that connection right there. Question number, that was 17, question number 18. Why does Ha'el, the Almighty, why does he cause barley? Why does the Almighty cause barley to grow faster than wheat? All right, now, that might not be so important to us while we're in exile, but when we return to the land, the land. Why does Jah cause barley to grow faster than wheat? From the teaching, as a reminder, to feed our animals before ourselves. As a reminder to feed our animals, why does Jehovah cause the barley to grow faster than the wheat? Because we are to be reminded to feed our animals, the chayim, the living creatures. There's such a thing, and this might be hard for some coming from a Western Gentile state of mind to really recognize, that kindness to animals is actually brought out in the teaching here in Torah. I know one will say, well, the sacrifice, kindness to animals, yes. This is called the Tsa'ar Ba'alei Chayim, the kindness, right, to the living creatures, the Chayim. And Chayim means life and lives. Like we say, the Eitz Chayim. We say the eight is tree, chayim, or the eight ha chayim, the tree of life. And the animals in the scripture are first referred to as chayim. So the question is this: is man an animal according to the scriptures? Chayim. Why is it an appropriate substitute by the animals, right, as a life-for-life principle in Torah? It's a connection with the question we just asked. Is man an animal? Or what is the relation? Maybe you should ask like this. What is the relation of man to the animal? Man has a trinity brain, a triunity brain, a three-part brain. He has the reptilian, the reptile. He has a reptilian, the instinctual part. He has the mammalian, the mammal, you know, there are mammals and reptiles. And then he has another brain. This is said to, some say it evolved. This is the higher brain, right? And this is where we make our God connection. So at the core, yes, man shares the core curriculum with the other living creatures known as chayim. But the question, why does Jah cause barley to grow faster than wheat? From the ancient sages, is to remind I and I, right, to feed I and I animals and to care for the animals before I and I selves. Even in Proverbs it says that a good man cares for the life of his beast. Question 19, what is offered on the holiday, the holy day, the appointment of Shavuot, of weeks? And it's called weeks because seven Sabbaths, one Shavuah, one Sabbath, 1 week, two Shavuahs, two Sabbaths, 2 weeks, and then the fulfillment, the 49, Shavuot, and then on the morrow after the 50th day, what is offered on the holiday of Shavuot, right? We have Bikurim. Bikurim. What is Bikurim? New fruit, the new growth, new fruit, and 2 leavened loaves. Now, let's note this. In Passover, Pesach, in the first of the three times in the year, is no leaven. Here, with the harvest, we are commanded to bring forth 2 leavened loaves. During Passover, it's unleavened bread, the kitain jera, the matzah, right? The no leaven. Here, we bring 2 baked leavened loaves made from the first wheat harvest. So what is offered here at Shavuot, according to HaTorah, is that crop, as we're counting the growth of the crop, counting the sheaf of wheat that is growing, when we come to the 50th day, to Shavuot, to the harvest, what do we present? We present the new fruit, known as Bikurim, the Bikurim, and 2 leavened loaves that are made from the first wheat harvest in Ainai land. We present it to Jehovah through his appointed officers, his ministers, HaKohanim, the priests, and these are waved and waved. And here, the wave offering is where we like to build up on a resume to share a connection of the wave offering and the sign of the cross. What is the connection between the Hebrew wave offering and the Christian, the Meshahawian sign of the cross? They are waved before the altar. So what's the offering again? Right, on the holy day of Shavuot, new fruit, Bikurim. 2 leavened loaves, 2 loaves made with leaven, right, and made from the first wheat harvest being waved on Ainai's behalf according to Torah. So we present it to, it's all being brought to Jehovah, but in the covenant, we as the rank and file sons of Yisrael, according to the Brit HaYishana, according to the covenant here in Torah, they could not priest it themselves. They no longer could serve in the priest capacity. It's only with the coming of Adonenu Yeshua HaMoshiach, right, and those who had authority and faith in his name and therefore authority, they become in the New Testament sense, right, the kingdom of priests, and thus is restored again to faithful Yisrael. This is what is interesting right here. So we as the Israelites, rank and file Israelites, before the Brit, right, the covenant was made here in Torah, and before we had come into this covenant with Jehovah after the Exodus, before that we can offer, right? But especially after the molten calf incident, the Egel Maseka, after the molten calf incident, which effectively broke the covenant that they had first made, and then the covenant that they had first made with Jehovah, even in Exodus, even in the wilderness, was renewed. So the principle of the new covenant, we have this in the old covenant right here. And basically a more better translation, instead of just saying new in the Gentile sense, a renewed covenant, right? Yeshua HaMoshiach, the King of Kings Christ, Jesus Christos, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Question 20, what is the name of the seventh moon, right, of the Judaic year? It's called Tishri. Tishri. Now, this is the post Babylonian exile name, Tishri, right? But it's also known in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2. You could say this is the second month in the scriptures that we have a name according to the scriptures. We have Ethanim, 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 Ethanim. We have it's called as Ethanim, the seventh moon, the seventh month, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2. Which usually occurs in September, October. So here's where we get the seventh month, the corresponding seventh month, the Rosh Hashanah, with Meskel, the finding of the true cross, but more importantly with the Adis Amet, right, with the Adis Amet amongst the Israelites of Ethiopia and the faithful children of the Ethiopians.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
So we have September, October, the seventh moon, the seventh month, when counting from the March-April time and Abib, the first month. And there at the seventh moon, we actually seal up the ecclesiastical, the churchical year, the holy year, where we have the appointments, right, the seven feasts and festivals of Jehovah are fulfilled. So thus, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Trumpets, corresponding with the Judaic civil new year, perfectly corresponds the children of the Ethiopians and the Israelites of Ethiopia with Adis Amet, right? Ethiopia, the kingdom of God, new year, right there. Moving forward. Let's see. Yes, question 21. Let's get versed in question 21. What special commandment is required for Yom Teruah? Yom Teruah in the scripture is the Feast of Trumpets. Actually, literally, it's the day of the blast of that ram's horn, right? That's also known as Rosh Hashanah, So what do we have here? The question. Question 21. What special commandment is required for the Day of Trumpets? What special commandment is required for the Day of Trumpets? Hear the answer. The blasting of the shofar. The shofar is the ram's horn. What is the ram's horn? Well, the ram's horn, it kind of goes a little something like this. Lehitorer Yisrael, to wake up, wake up. Lehitorer Yisrael, wake up Israel, the blast of the shofar. The shofar is blasted on the Yom Teruah, a.k.a. the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Judaic, we call it the civil year, also corresponding with the time of the September 11th, Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, New Year. The blasting of the ram's horn, known as HaShofar, the shofar, is blasted at least 100 times during a typical Rosh Hashanah service. Teruah, the Hebrew, teruah. What is teruah? Teruah means a noise, a blast, a loud sound, teruah, right? The sound of HaShofar is meant to awaken, Ha Nefesh, the soul, even Jah people, soul people, to awaken Teshuvah, repentance, and to recall the sacrifice or the binding of Yitzhak, the binding of Isaac at Har Moriah, at Mount Moriah. Question 22. What does Yom Kippur mean? Two-part question. What does Yom Kippur mean, and what does Yom HaKippurim mean? Well, Yom Kippur means a day of a atonement. In the scripture, it's not called Yom Kippur. That's just a modern way people kind of do it, other Jews do it. But in studying to show ourselves approved, we see that the Torah calls it Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonement. So Yom HaKippurim, difference. A day of a atonement, or the day of the atonements, the coverings, Yom HaKippurim. Question 23. what commandments are required to celebrate, to celebrate Sukkot? Now, Sukkot is tabernacles called booths. We refer to it as huts, but it's known as, it's the seventh of the seven feasts and festivals of Jehovah, the Feast of Tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot, the Feast of Huts. What commandments are required to celebrate, to celebrate tabernacles? Well, firstly, living in a sukkah. Living in a sukkah. What is a sukkah? A sukkah is a booth. A sukkah is a hut from sok, suk. It's interesting because sukkah is also a lion's den. One of the terms used in the scripture for a lion's den, right, also relates to sukkah, right? In a booth, in a hut, in a pavilion, in a tabernacle. Living in a hut, living in a booth. Commandment, one of the first things. Secondarily, waving, right? Remember the waving and the sign of the cross, right? Up and down and from low degrees to high degrees, from east to west, right? The sign of the cross, waving the four species, the arba minim. There are four species of trees, we can say, four species of trees that are waved. And also the commandment for celebrating tabernacles, rejoicing in Yahweh, in Yahweh, in Jehovah's provision, in his provida, in Yahweh Yireh, in Jehovah Jireh, in Jehovah Iri, Iri Yireh, he has seen to it, he provided for I and I. So the commandment here to celebrate is living in a sukkah for those days, waving the four species, the arba minim, and rejoicing in Jehovah's, in his bounty, in his baraka, in his increase, in his provida, in his provision. Question 24, what are the four species? The four species, arba, the arba, arba four, and minim, species, are like the four kinds. What are the four kinds, the four species? Used during Sukkot, used during tabernacle booths, used during huts. We have the lulav. What is the lulav? The lulav is the palm branch. We have the hadasim. Hadasim. What is the hadasim? The hadasim is the myrtle branches. We have the aravot. The aravot, or some say the aravot. What is the aravot? The aravot, it is the willow branches, the willow branches. And then we have the etrog. What's the etrog? The etrog is a fruit, a type of fruit from a citron tree, a fruit from the citron tree. So these are the four. The four is the lulav, the palm branch, is the hadasim, the myrtle branches, the arabot, the willow branches, and the etrog, fruit from a citron tree. Hear, hear, hear. Question 25, what kind of oil was required? What kind of shemen, what kind of oil was required for ha-menorah, for the lampstand? Not candlesticks. Candlesticks don't need no oil. But the lampstand requires oil. And what the Torah here is instructing us is giving instruction in the lampstand, right? What kind of oil was required for ha-menorah, for the lampstand, the lamps, in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan? The Torah says clear, pure olive oil. Clear, clean, pure olive oil for clean burning light and illumination. Clear, pure olive oil. Now, take note, in the second of the two Hebrew truths, in the Hebrew da'at, the Hebrew science, of course we have the oil, but then oil also is used in the second of the two truths as an allegory or a metaphor for spirit, for the ruach, right? Clear, pure olive oil made only from the first drop. One drop from the first drop of a squeezed olive. made from the first drop of a squeezed olive, getting the direction instruction on the clear, the pure oil, olive oil. That is what was required for Ha Menorah, for the lampstand, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, in the Hebrew church, the church in the wilderness. Question 26. What was placed on the golden table inside HaMishkan, inside the tabernacle, every Shabuah, every 7 days, every week, every Shabuah? What was placed on the golden table inside the tabernacle, the kahal, you could say the Hebrew church, in the wilderness, every Shabuah? Answer, 12 loaves of unleavened. Now pay attention. Over here, the unleavened bread, the kitah and jerah, unleavened bread. Here for Shavuot, 2 wave loaves of leavened bread. But the required, right, the requirement that was placed on the golden table inside the tabernacle every 7 days, every Shabuah, was 2 loaves of unleavened showbread, known as the showbread. Or in the Hebrew, we call this bread the lechem ha-panim, lechem ha-panim, of the faces. Of the faces, the bread of the faces, stacked upon a lattice, along with eishens, also the eishens, along with eishens, the incense, and spoons. This is what was placed on the golden table inside the tabernacle every Shabuah, 12 loaves of unleavened showbread, shownuff, the showbread, unleavened showbread, the lechem ha-panim, the bread of the faces, stacked upon a lattice along with the eishens and spoons. 2 more questions here for this Shabbat Amor. Question 27. In the Jewish Judaic tradition, who is given the first aliyah? The aliyah is like the going up, the up offering. So in the worship service, right, in the, we could say the kahal, in the gathering, who would go up first to read from that Torah reading and feeding when the reading of the Torah, right, the reading of the Torah during the kahal, the gathering services? See, the word synagogue is a Greek term that means gathering together. The Hebrew term is the kahal, right? We also use Knesset, but the Torah uses the term the kahal. So who would be given the first aliyah, like first dibs? Because on the Shabbat, we have actually 7 aliyah. There are 7 goings up, 7 readings. But who would be given the first aliyah? A kohen, a priest, right? A kohen, a priest. If no priest is present, who does the honor go to of the first aliyah, the first reading? That honor will go to a Lewi, a Levite. And then we go so forth and so on. And then it will go to maybe a rank and file Israelite of some standing, right, and respectability in that sense. That is the order. So when we have our night gathering and say we're gathering together, that those who are serving as the Kohen, right, the priest and the priest function, they would read the first aliyah for like the Shabbat, right, the Shabbat, the aliyot. They'll be the first reader. If there's no Kohen, no priest present, then that honor goes to a Lewi, a Levite, and then so on. 28th question here for Shabbat. A more Sabbath say, Senbet Bille. What does Chilul, what does Chilul Hashem mean? What does Chilul Hashem mean? Chilul Hashem means the desecration, right? Like I'm going to say the deconsecration, right? His name is set apart, But when that is not done, or the opposite of that is done, it's the desecration of Jehovah, of Hailahim, of the Elohim's Shem, of his Shem. People talk about, oh, I'm Shem and you Shem and this Shem. Yeah, I get that, but it's really all about the Hashem. But what is the Chilul? Hashem is the desecration of the name, the Yahweh, Yahuwah, of Jah name. This is caused by blasphemy, insult, injury, and bringing Hashem's name, Jah's name, into disrepute, into a bad reputation, giving it a bad rep, repute, disrepute, dissing Jehovah's reputation. It's the opposite, like the opposite of Chilul Hashem. What is the opposite of Chilul? Chilul, Chilul Hashem. Interesting from the Chilul, right? The Chalal is almost like boring a hole, right? Boring a hole in it, right? Like strike, like what they did with Ketamawi Haile Selassie's name when he struck it off of everything in Ethiopia. That's like a Chilul Hashem in that sense, a desecration of the name. But the opposite of the desecration of Janay, which is called in the Hebrew the Chilul Hashem, is the Kiddush Hashem. What is the Kiddush Hashem? Kiddush, sanctifying, setting apart, Hashem, the Hashem name, the name, Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the sanctifying of the name, which sometimes can also involve even martyrdom, even bearing witness to martyrdom, as even Revelation, the Chazon Yochanan said, as the saints, the holy ones, many of I and I did not love I and I lives till death, because we recognize that he who be who he be is the Elohim of the living and not of the dead, and I and I are to live to him. But sometimes the Kiddush Hashem, the sanctifying of the name, could also involve what ones know as martyrdom. So just to point this out right here, because in this Torah reading and feeding there's a testimony, right, concerning a man executed, a man who has an Israelite mama and a Kemetic papa. He was executed for blasphemy. He was executed for the Chilul Hashem, for abusing the divine name. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's ride up. We have one more, the seventh Aliyah here for this Shabbat, for even Shabbat Amor. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians, the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children?
Now he says, it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
Yes, I. Greetings to the Queen, Queen Makeda here. I am Shem. Yes, I. All right.
From the land of Ham, but I am Shem. Stolen from the halls of Africa, I am Israel. Taken from the land of Ham, but I am Shem. Stolen from the halls of Africa, I am Israel. Abraham had a nice vision of future posterity. For stubborn disobedience and suffered the curse of captivity. 400 years twice over was the prophecy. Kidnapped from Africa, sold as a slave, but my home is in the east. Taken from the land of Ham, but I am Shem.
America, I am Israel. Taken from the land of Ham, but I am Shem. Stolen from the horns of Africa, I am Israel. Brother, Jerusalem fell under siege from the perils of war. I was forced to flee, sought refuge on African shore. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its cunning. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I forsake thee, O Mount Zion, woe be unto my soul. If I forget Jerusalem, chief of my joy.
Touching the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
And here, that was from Amor, the 31st sabbatical study. Here we have a double portion in this Shabu and this seven, and this strong, sabbatical strong, a.k.a. the week, but keeping sabbatically strong in Yahweh, truth, and life. Concerning the previous, just a review, that was an older record and reasonment, but some of the basic things said there just to remind I and I selves and also I and I hearers and the listeners and the brothers and sisters. So here we have a double portion, 32nd and the 33rd degree of I and I sabbatical study, Harar. Interesting, Matthew born in Harar, right? Harar. And Har in Hebrew is mountain, but Har is one form of mountain, one form of the word, and the older, more archaic form of the word is Harar. So, Matthew born in Harar, the mountain, right? Like the mountains round about Jerusalem. So we have Behar, speaking of Behar Sinai on Mount Sinai, And we have Berchukotai, Besarate, in my statutes and my ordinances. But on that reasonment there concerning the blemishes, that portion of Torah, for example, is specifically to the Kohanim. So we have to recognize that some things are specifically to a certain, we say, group or a certain part of Yisrael, of Israel. In other words, there is the rank and file Israelites, sons, right? Then there is the Kohanim, the priests. And then there is the assistants to the priests, right? We have the Levites. So there in the previous, most of it was specifically to the priests and to their relations and to their families, vis-a-vis the offerings of the sons of Israel. But now, hear this right here. As we listen again to the audio, we thought of the autobiography of His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie. We thought of Hiwate Naye Ethiopia Rimja, My Life in Ethiopia's Progress, Book 1, Metzhaf An, Andenya Metzhaf, and Chapter 26, where it reads about our planning and initiating gradual improvements and reforms in the work of the clergy. You know, you hear someone say, oh, His Majesty Haile Selassie, he was just like a regular Christian, like some Ethiopians, careless ones, Orthodox, other careless ones, they'll say these things out of their religious fanaticism, right, so to speak. But in the reality of His Divine Majesty, His Majesty is planning and he initiated improvements and reforms in the work of the clergy. So His Majesty Haile Selassie, the King of Kings and the King upon the throne of great King David, and according to the principle, the head of the church, because that is the pattern that we have in the scriptures from the old covenant to the new covenant, and we get a testimony amongst the Israelites of Ethiopia. Again, the Israelites of Ethiopia. This is our point of reference out of the whitewashed paradigm of Western Gentile Christianity. That's our, you could say, anchor, historical, factual anchor. Now, here he says, since time immemorial, the kings of Ethiopia, just as they were responsible for the entire business of government, were also in charge of the affairs of the church. So let's stop it with this latter day, you know, counterfeit Christianity and also the counterfeit that has crept up into the once holy Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Now, we speak to and speak for the true church and the professing EOTC, because many ones and ones will say, oh, His Majesty is a regular Christian, and they'll go into their Western Gentile adaptation of spookism, right? In the reality, the king represents Christ. Facts. It says, they would select persons from among the savants and the learned and make appointments to, as well as dismissals from, what? The kings of Ethiopia, the Israelite-rooted, the Shemite of Shem, and Shem means a name, Hashem is the name, how we refer to the Yahweh, the YHWH, without overly saying his name, therefore not to fall into that, you know, that error there. He says here that the kings of Ethiopia were in charge of the business, right, the business of government affairs of the church, would select persons from among the savants, like the learned ones, the savants, right, and the learned, and make appointments to, as well as dismissals from. Notice he didn't say that they would just select people so that we all are holy, we all can do this. No, among the savants and the learned, to make appointments to, as well as dismissals from, office at the various churches and monasteries. And in general, have the authority to control all their functions. This is what Matthew says, Garmawi Nagusa Nagas. But with the gradual increase in government business and the occasional waging of wars against the pagans. Now, here the translation is pagans. Now, we're going to look into His Majesty, the original Amharic, to find the word, right? Most likely the other peoples who are not covenant-keeping peoples. We consider those who are not a part of Jah's true way to be astray. So against the pagans, the ones who are in the countryside, you know, the different tribes of people. In neighboring countries, remember, the Ethiopian king, according to the true context, is king of kings. The other tribes, their representative, their leader, referred to as their leader, was their king. Where they would reside, even in Ethiopia, when they say different tribes, this tribe will be over here, that tribe will be over there in ancient time, this tribe will be over there. Well, each of them will be a different country. This is how we qualified it, with different countries, different provinces. Like United States has 50 states, but it's all part of one federal government. So was it with Ethiopia, part of one Israelite Hebrew establishment, right? The King of Kings of Ethiopia. They simply did not have time to control in full the affairs of the church. That reminds me of the proverb, when the cat's away, what would the mice, the rats do? Rato. Right? Consequently, there were many things detrimental to the ordinances of the church. Now, the second part of this double portion in the Hebrew, be chukotai from hawk, right? A statute, an ordinance. It's an interesting word, but just to point to the connection of the ordinances of the church, what Matthew's saying here in chapter 26, he says that there were many things detrimental to the ordinances, right? The precepts and the ordinances of the church, which had an error invaded into the community of the clergy, and had by custom persisted, like this white Jesus in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Latter-day Church today. Nobody want to speak about it. You know, ones don't want to even say nothing about it because, you know, of their love of Ethiopia. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Even if they don't like it, say it lovingly, right? So now, His Majesty goes on to speak much that we need to review in this chapter, chapter 26, but I would like to scroll this a little bit forward right here to where His Majesty is setting up regulations for the church. Now, we have to recall right here that His Majesty, in writing this part of it, part of his autobiography, this is while he was Ras, plenipotentiary, and regent and heir to the throne, where he is making these improvements and reforms. Basically, he's telling the priests what they are to do. And according to the Israelite Hebrew and Torah pattern, it says that when you have righteous rulers, that's what they're supposed to do, because this is why Jah reveals these things. And even though it's mainly speaking to the priests in the previous Torah portion, the people get a hearing of it. So they know what, you know, what's in your rule book, what you're required to do and what you're not required to do, where's your authority and where you don't have authority, right? But of spookism, you know, getting to religious stuff, like even in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, since 1974-75, there's been, as His Majesty says right here, many things detrimental to the ordinances of the church that had an error and in rebellion penetrated, invaded the community of the clergy, speaking about the Ethiopian Orthodox clergy, and had by custom over these 40 or so years been persisting, like that counterfeit Roman icon of Jesus, like that Roman icon of Mary and so-called child, which is really Caesar Borgias, Lucrezia Borgias, and Rodrigo, the alleged incestuous son of Caesar Borgias and his sister Lucrezia. You know what picture I'm talking about here. We're on the audio right here, right? You know what picture I'm talking about. And doesn't make it any more Ethiopian if you write it in Amharic. If you put Amharic on it, doesn't make it more Ethiopian. Cut it out, right? And if we love our people,
right? Say it lovingly, but, you know, we have to stand against the folly. And what it says in the prophets, the image that provokes to jealousy, you don't make Jah zealous. Here in the fourth section of chapter 26, in His Majesty's autobiography, book one, about our planning and initiating gradual improvements and reforms in the work of the clergy. In the fourth section, that same thing we're seeking to do in LOJ Society among I and I, Rastafari, right? To initiate gradual improvements and reforms in I and I work to be in context with the teaching and in the proper ordinance of His Majesty. Right? And my Father's house has many mansions, but it's still my Father's house. The fourth section says, in earlier times, when a person died, his family, in arranging the tezkar, from Zakar, you know that, like in the Hebrew, we have the Zakar, Zikor, right? Zikor, Yom, Et Yom HaShabbat, to remember the Sabbath. So that same root word, right, here as Tezkar, memorial service, remembrance service, would prepare Tela, a type of beer, edge, hydromel, honey wine, honey mead, and other intoxicating matter, and would invite the priests to the house of the deceased. They would offer them food and drink. This is His Majesty, Gurmawi Nagus Nagas, as Ras Tefari Mekonin, as Ras Tefari Makonin. Here he's speaking here in his autobiography, saying that they would offer them, the priests, food and drink beyond measure and would make them exceed what has been ordained. Uh-oh. What has been what? Ordained where? In the ordinances. The ordinances of what? The ordinances of the Orthodox Church. Where you find that? The Fifth and the Guest. When I read the Fifth and the Guest, I find all of these quotes to Torah. Wow. But now, His Majesty said, but now, since we have become convinced that conduct of this kind does not conform to the new era of civilization, does not conform to the Adis Zemin, to the new age, the Adis Zemin, the new era of civilization, and is also forbidden by the Holy Scriptures, right? Doesn't conform, right, to the ordinances, right? We have arranged that the tezkar, the memorial service for one's, like, you know, one's loved one when they pass away, should cease, consisting of intoxicating drink, and excessive amounts of food, and that instead the relatives of the deceased should have the absolution prayers performed and give, according to their means, some money to the priest. Some money, not enough money, some money to the priest for what? For the performance of absolution. I know people say, God don't need no money. But there's an order, right? As Matthew says right here, that they should give some money to the priest for what? The performance of absolution. It should not, His Majesty says, Gurmawi, Nagusa, Nages says, it should not, however, be forbidden to offer food and drink to the poor. To the poor, bribing the priest with beer and food. Majesty, cut it out. It should not, however, be forbidden to offer food and drink to the poor, provided this is done in moderation. We also urged the bishops and priors to preach in this sense. To preach what? Preach what Matthew's saying right here. Right? Matthew's giving an account of those things that were done, the plans and initiating of gradual improvements and reforms in the work of the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. All right. Now, it's interesting, but it goes on and says, intending to be a model, not just to command these things, but intending to be a model an example to the people. When our daughter, Princess Zenabawark, died, we distributed gifts of money for the absolution rites among various churches and monasteries. Many people then began to do likewise. So here we get the manifestation of teaching, right? You know, preaching, like proclaiming and doing what one proclaimed, right? Preaching and doing what one's preached. The next section, just to share this right here, how this is reflected, right? Reflected, and also in his autobiography, he speaks about the three annual feasts. You know, the three annual feasts, the same thing the Torah speaks about, the three times in the year. Here in the fifth, the next section, he says, since early times, it was the custom in some provinces for some of the relatives of a deceased person to manifest mourning. Mourning, you know, just pause on this for a moment. And help me, brothers and sisters. You know, like, you know, that time of day, or the early time of day, is called mourning. But Rastavan said, pick sense on nonsense. We should, like, refer to it as dawning. Rastavan said, you know, say new light, dawning, right? But here, he's talking about the real mourning, right? It was customary, right, in some provinces from the earliest time for some of the relatives of a deceased person to manifest mourning by cutting their hair. Then we just end off with that audio there speaking about what it says in Torah about the cutting of hair, making baldness and all that, right? One is bald, but making baldness to manifest mourning by cutting their hair, beating their breasts, and by general wailing. But now, I love how he says, but now, right? This is what was done. It's like when the Moshiach, Yeshua, Jesus, when he said, you've heard people of old time say, but I say, but now we have given instructions to the savants to go round the various churches and to preach that the family of the deceased should, apart from wearing a black patch on the edge of the dress as a sign of mourning, cease and desist, cease the cutting of hair. Isn't this interesting how his divine majesty, his messianic majesty, Rastafari, Kenemah, Haile Selassie, how he's both overtly, right, and covertly referring to this very root and foundation of scripture here, but in manifestation here, that they should cease the cutting of hair, the beating of breasts, and wearing special mourning clothes. Hence, as the savants preached with diligence, you get that? They didn't just preach like preach one time. Oh, I don't have to preach this one time. I don't have to preach that sermon again. No, his master says, as they did what? They preached with diligence. The hopeless mourning for the dead person has gradually ceased. This is the same thing that we have in Torah, the same principle that we have in Torah. So we're sharing just a little bit of this right here, because that last part of the audio concerning Amor, the blemishes, what things to do, what things not to do, check out chapter 26 of His Majesty's Autobiography, book one. Check that out. Here, a little rhema tune after this right here. Let's go this. Yes, sir. Rasta.
Now he says it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 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 Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. For 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 thee as incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. As incense. Before thee as incense. As incense. As incense, 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 and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, before thee as incense, before thee as incense, before thee as incense, forth before thee as incense, prayer be set forth before thee as incense, prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Prayer be set forth before thee as incense, thee as incense, thee. Prayer be set forth before thee. Prayer be set forth before thee. Prayer be set forth before thee. Forth before thee. Forth before thee. Forth. Prayer be set forth before thee. Prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. As the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. As the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, Selah, Selah.
לדוד מזמור. לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, תבל ויוש ובה. כי הוא על ימים יסדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה. מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו?
נקי חפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשב נפשי ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני וצדקה מאלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו מבקשי פניך יעקב סלע. שאו שערים רעשיכם והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשיכם ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות הוא מלך הכבוד סלע.
לדוד מזמור, לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, בבל ויושבבה, כי הוא על ימים יסדה, והנהרות יכונניה, מי יעלה בהר אדוני, מי יקום במקום קודשו. נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה, יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה אלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך יעקב סלע, זהו שערים ראשיכם ינשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. זהו שערים ראשיכם ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות הוא מלך הכבוד סלע.
Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, in the name of Adonai, Yeshua I HaMoshiach, I. Glory be the King, Kadamah HaSalasi. Yes, I, Rastafari, 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 Rastafari.
Dalet le David mizmor l'Adonai ha'aretz u melo'ah tevel ve'yosh ve'vah כי הוא על ימים ישדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה. מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו? נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעוד. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך, יעקב, סלע. שאו שערים רעשכם, והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם, ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד. סלע, 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 סלע.
Washing of the water, you know, and the water being connected with the word to prepare them. That's why he said to the Pharisees and the rest of them who came to his baptism, you know, where's your fruit? Have you brought forward the fruit? I mean, what has caused you to come forward now at this time? Where's that fruit of repentance? You know, so even there he's kind of alluding, or not even alluding, but on a certain level you can use that word just that to refer to, he's pointing to the Torah. He's pointing to that type. So in a sense, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he was in the role of even the priest, John the Baptist. He was like the priest in the tabernacle. He's saying, y'all have come to Jah at this appointed time, but you have come reikam. You have come empty-handed. Y'all are empty. You don't have any fruit of repentance. In other words, remember it says that our sacrifice, the fruit of our lip. So they kind of came to steer, to watch. While other people were engaged in that confession and in that cleansing, you know, and being baptized, they were coming to see what's going on. But it was almost in a kind of the ironic sense, like, oh, look at these guys. These guys have come. You would think that they would come to repent, but they want to see what they've been hearing about going on. So they come to kind of gawk. So that's why John responded in that sense, you know, and we call them vipers and snakes and everything like that, you know, because they didn't come, you know, to repent. And if they even came to repent, they didn't have the fruit of it because they're snakes and vipers. But so just looking at it just very simply, it's that order, you know, and this is why we put forward the teaching on righteousness, right? What is righteousness? What does it really mean in its primary senses? And it doesn't mean that one is going to get it the first time one hears it, but hopefully it can build up. Hopefully there'll be many of those, moments, you know? I mean, I and I have had it, and many of the I them have had it. You know, you hear something, you understand it, but then as you tried, you begin to better understand it in some situations. You know, you're like, wow, now it's really coming, as you say, together. You know, together for good, right? So the physical disqualifications of a priest. So it was speaking about the blemish. Like even the idea of blemish. So I've been speaking a lot of this. I need to also make some notes. My notes have been, I almost say a little less, but I've been making a lot of the notes like in these records or in these reasonments or like within the videos. But some of the notes are kind of can be helpful principles to look at even in the future as we, you know, formulate, you know, a presentation for us now and for others to come. But the blemish is directly opposite of that which is acceptable or that which is tamim or that which is perfect. So I use that counterbalance of the blemish, right, or the mum, right, the mum, the mum on one hand, and the tamim, the perfect. So when people say, oh, no one can be perfect, this is the context that John is speaking of, right? It says, whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. Now, it's interesting because this same man, right, later on, he'd be able to eat the bread of his God, right? Eloho, right, of his power, both of the most holy and of the holy, right? But it says, only he shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh to the altar. In other words, when you look at the diagram of the tabernacle, right, the first room, he's not to go into where the veil, where the Ark of the Covenant is, right? And he's not to go near the altar. And I would think that this would refer to the altar of Aishans, because speaking of in the veil, right? Because he hath a blemish. He has mum. He has mum. He has a mum. That he profane not my sanctuary, right? And check it out. It says, for I, he who be who he be, do sanctify, do set you apart. So even in the new, renewed covenant sense, it's him, he who be who he be, who sets us apart, who makes us kedus or kadosh. See, a lot of people are still thinking that, okay, they see this, they say, don't do this, don't do that. So if I don't do this, I shall be holy. Right? And I don't think his word says that like that. I think that's what we get from it, you know. What he's saying more than anything, by doing the things he says not to do, are obvious ways you will be unholy, you know, because he says that he sanctifies us. So it's all about that relationship. That's why he says he shall not approach, to approach makreb. He will not be able to do the makrebia, the makreb. The makreb is like in court where you draw near to the bench or where the judge is. It's like for example, the attorney can seek permission, and permission granted, can approach the bench, can approach the judge. But the client can't just get up and walk up there. It's like in that sense. You know, now, this is interesting right here because it goes into that a blind man or a lame or he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous. Now, the word superfluous, if I'm correct, it would mean like anything extra, right? Anything extra. Because then when you see the next chapter, 22:23, it says, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that anything who has moreover or less than that template, right? That mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. So you can offer a bullock or a lamb, right, that has something extra or that has something lacking in its parts, its body parts or its makeup. One may offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow, right, for a vow, it shall not be accepted. It's not to be accepted for a vow, but it may be accepted as a free will offering. So you can see a kind of a resonance right there, but the superfluous is having anything extra. So someone who's blind has something less. Someone who's lame has something less. So it's interesting because the new covenant with Yeshua, right, the word, the Bein HaElohim, and the healing, right, the healing through the Father and through the Holy Spirit, that Yeshua healed various different ones, like the lame and everything. It was like almost so that they too may serve, right? So the healing, right, also had that purpose of even that is a fulfillment of this law right there, the blind man, the lame man. Then it says, or him or he that hath a flat nose. That's interesting, because we can point in the New Testament to Christ, the Messiah, our Messiah healing a blind man, to our Messiah healing a lame. Now, what about he that hath a flat nose? And the flat nose reason is very interesting. As I already mentioned, some people look at it racially. They look at it, well, you know, they'll say the Bible is racist and those Jews or white people, Khazars, and that's why they wrote that there. It is not for black people because black people, you know, have flat nose. And, you know, you Google Negro flat nose and you get a lot of propaganda and a lot of other kind of, you know, racist history, right, from this satanic country, you know. Yeah. So you'll find those things there. But if we read on, it says, or a man that is broken-footed, or a man, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. His stones broken, you know, some of the balls, you know, the fray, you know, has his stones broken. Right, or in some form, maybe castrated, I'm not too sure. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of the race that descend from that DNA seed, you could say the sperm, in other words, of Aaron, the priest shall come near, makreb, approach, to offer the offerings, the korban note of Yahweh made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of Eloho, right, of his power. But it says that he shall eat the bread of Eloho, both of the most holy and of the holy, but he will not go in into the veil, nor come nigh to the altar. Now, it's interesting here. I want to look into this word veil. Just do a little study. This is something that just came up to eye. You know, which veil? I think it's speaking about the veil where the Ark of the Covenant is. Right? But, that's it, because a door. That's what separated the door of the tabernacle. I was going to look at the specific word, the Hebrew, and, do that sort of study right there. Now, that was the interesting part. Right, the flat nose part. You know, I don't know whether anybody will bring that forward. Perhaps somebody would. If I broadcast this, then maybe it'll be a more of a discussion. But in order to really see, the translation is correct in a sense, but something is missing that would where the devil can then come in and lie. You know, and do this kind of racist thing where it's speaking about literally somebody with a flat nose. See, what it was is that the Old Testament, you know, translators of this part of the Bible from the Hebrew did not understand the Hebraic idiom, you know, the Hebraic slang or the style of speech when we talk about flat nose. Because remember I was mentioning before, one of the attributes of John, that he is long-suffering. He's a patience and he's long-suffering. If you read it literally in the Hebrew, it says he is long-nosed, right? But anyone who knows Hebrew wouldn't probably literally translate long-nosed, especially speaking to Gentiles and people of foreign mind and foreign culture, because they'll think that it's literally somebody with a long nose, right? But the long nose, right, means that he is like slow to anger. Right, patient and slow to anger, the long nose. So when you look at the flat nose, it's just the opposite. This is one of the reasons why in ancient times they would bust off the noses. Yes, the so-called European or the white man in his Gentile world racism, he has done that to a lot of archaeology of ancient black and Ethiopian African peoples, right? And their we know they did that. The Sphinx, no doubt, is also another classic example of how they blew off the nose or they damaged things in some way to take away from the obvious, you know, what they call the Africoid or the phenotypes of the black man, right? As we would say generally. But the black man has both phenotypes naturally. So, and even among certain families and people, you'll see people with both these, it's not talking about a flat nose, right? On one level, it could be speaking about a broken nose. Because why? Because the use of smell is very important in the tabernacle as well. You know, the use of smell, You know, even doctors can diagnose things by smell, you know. And even when it links with a sweet savor, how will he know what a sweet savor is? That's one level right there, right? The next level, I think more directly, is when you look at the Hebrew, and if long nose is to be patient, you know, and slow to anger is to be long nosed, then one who is of a short temper, right, in that sense, flat nose, but I think it also refers to broken nose. But check this out. In the ancient world, and the Egyptians did this, and other Egyptians did to other Egyptians, and people did to other nations, when they would, like, overrun your temples or the people's temples and sites and their statues, they would turn them over, and usually want to turn it over on the face, but usually broke off the nose sometime. By breaking off the nose, since many of these statues or teraphim, they were symbolic, and some people had other spiritual investment in these things, like their ancestors. You know, this is my ancestor. So if I took a hammer and broke the nose, it's like that your ancestors died there. He lived because of... He was intact, the image, but when I broke off the nose, like I cut off the spirit. So it had a symbolic reference too, you know. So just to say that it meant something on the natural type, it's more natural that it would have been somebody who had a broken nose, right, and flat nose in that sense, to say almost like a deformity of the nose, than in what the Western Gentile people will call, you know, a flat nose, because the Western Gentiles have really a poor way of describing what is. That's caused a lot of confusion too. You know, their language, this Western language caused a lot of confusion. You know, that's why every people that come into this culture have to kind of coin their own words so they can keep their spirit going. You know, they have to flip it up or sometimes just speak their own language to really get across the umph of it. Those of us who've been, you know, broken off from that, you know, so forth and so on. But anyway, anything superfluous, even though one could say we're speaking of a physical aspect here, right? Now, also flat nose, one more point about flat nose in the Kivra Neges, in the Fita Neges, the punishment, right, In the Ethiopic and the churchical canon law for certain kind of chatat is very much similar as Torah. But then you even see where other legislations were enacted, where like an adulterer or one who commit adultery, right, say a woman, you know, the nose would be cut off. And because if it's a man that does these things, he probably will be deaded on. You know, so it's interesting how this cutting off of the nose and a lot of those practices from that intermediate time, so to speak, you know, were superseded by the Constitution and the judicial precepts by that revelation of the kingdom of the King of Kings, of His Majesty. You know what I mean? So a lot of these legislations are still there on the books. The question I have is this. Since they have said that they have overthrown the Constitution of His Majesty, right, for all those gracious provisions, can we execute Fita Neges law on them? Because therefore that means that that's the jurisdiction that we are in. I mean, not for us, but for those who deny, you know, the sign and the seal of His Majesty. It's a reasonment right there. But now, most of what is here, you know, even the story of the blasphemer, you know, the oils and the lamps, you know, we can see all these are basic prescriptions for the priest. In fact, most of what's here is there's negative commands, you know, there's negative and there's positive commands, but the majority of these apply to the sons of what is here. You know, of what is here applied to the sons. You know, some of it applies to the sisters, but only in regard to the priest, the sons. Like it says, like who would this one, how he would not take a wife or a woman that's a whore or profane, you know, outside of the holy, you know. Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy to his God. Because in a sense, if you take a woman that's put away, he's a priest. That's going to cause issues in the office, the role that he's in. You know, I mean, for a lot of reasons. Oh, that's the priest that's there with that man's wife. Oh, I don't want to go to him. I'll go to, you know, it's going to cause confusion, you know, on that level for a lot of different reasons. Right? He was, the woman, yes, she was put away from her husband, but her husband is still floating around in that sense. You know, we look at the Old Testament law, so let's look at it in this context. It says, thou shalt sanctify himself therefore. Right? You shall sanctify himself therefore. Right? Verse 8 illustrates the Old Testament holiness or sanctification. A person set apart for the service of Elohim. You know, and I think a further point that we would have liked to get into, but we had to do first things first, is in speaking to the sisters and the daughters and the mothers and the wives in their study of Torah, and, it's interesting because the woman, being a woman and being a potential, like, mother, and therefore the sons and the daughters coming through thee, or one as that mother still in spirit and truth and being part of the children, you know, like that aspect or that reflection of the divine, you know, that is reflected in the woman. It's important for us to see how the woman would embrace, like, a lot of the sisters. Sisters be asking me some questions about parts that I would think that the son should be asking. I'll still answer it. It's very interesting, you know, if I could record those reasonments as well, because they sometimes are the best reasoning. It's like sometimes it's things that I reason and had to headrest on, you know. So it does touch on daughters, like if a priest's daughter also be married to a stranger, right, how she could not eat of the holy things, but if she's divorced. So it does refer to sisters and the daughters in that sense, you know. So that's the Old Testament, but there is a reflection of this there is the true type in the New Testament. I think the important thing about this right here is, since the high priest is Christ, and when it says he shall take a wife in her virginity, this is why the rebuke to the churches and the warnings to these churches, because the church symbolically is the wife, right, the bride of the Lamb, the bride of the Son of the Father, the bride of Messiah. So if that church, if that community doesn't maintain even a community islandness, holiness, because a lot of when it says, be ye kadoshim as I am kadosh, see, when you read it in the English, it says, be you holy as I am holy. So you still think of that singular. But if you look at that in the Hebrew, it says, be ye kadoshim, holy ones, as I am kadosh. You know, as you be holy in the collective corporate sense as the church, as that body. This is why Paul speaks about the church in the way that he does in the New Testament. He even speaks about it. It's like a man and a woman, but really it's reflecting the bride, the bridegroom and the bride, or Christ and the church. You know what I mean? That's why when it talks about, like, if a woman, if a priest's daughter has committed, like, harlotry, you know, or become a whore, that she shall be burnt with fire. Now, you know where that is in the New Testament? In the New Testament fulfillment? That's Babylon. Babylon shall be burnt with fire. We say fire burn Babylon. That's the reason, because Babylon is a priest's daughter in that sense, because Babylon pretends to be of Christ, you know, of, you know, as a church and all of that. But it says if one's daughter commit such, you know, it says she shall be, you know, it says right here in verse 9 of Leviticus 21, and the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the hoe, playing the whore, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. Right? Now, that right there in the new covenant is the reason for Babylon being burnt by fire. Because Babylon, right, is that daughter of a priest, in a sense. When I say Babylon, I'm talking about these churches and even the formerly Catholicos, you know, church, or the Romanist church that's been hijacked by the Vatican. Right? That church, all churches, when you think about it, all churches. That's why it speaks about the virginity and that virgin in the New Testament. Now, we'll look at it and we'll think it's talking about whether one is physically virgin. I mean, there is a reflection for Israel. See, this is really a lesson for Israel, right? In its natural type and in its spiritual fulfillment in Messiah. For the Gentiles, right, it is some things are spiritual fulfillment in the Messiah, right, and an observance as one grows in grace and in knowledge freely, like that free will offering. But it's not required as it is for the Israelites. See, this is one of the separate, people thought Paul is telling people don't keep the, you know, the commandment statute. That's a lie. What he was saying is he was coming into contact with Gentiles, the nations, that prophetic word of Abba Father that was being fulfilled, right? And there were some black Jews and other Judahites that was taking this as an opportunity to almost kind of like, you know, bring one into your religion and kind of, you know, do that whole, you know, 9 yards, 9 mile thing, you know. And Paul said, nah, it's not about that. You want to make a convert or something to Judaism. It's not about that, you know, because you're not letting them go. You're having them go through all these Old Testament things, and it was not given to them. It says, speak to the children of Israel. The only exception to that rule is the children of the Ethiopians. That's why we also focus on that theme, you know. So there's many, you know, as a light shines. It's almost like looking at the Aten, that Aten, right? The Egyptian Adon, right? Adon, the Aten, the Edal, the solar orb, right? That symbol, right? Jah is the sun and the shield, right? So you see the hands that come out. All the hands, like, so you see them go in many different directions. So when we're dealing with in the right sense of the word, but since we're speaking the English, when we are seeking to meditate on the word and seeking to rightly divide, you know, and to get the right relationship with the word, you know, in spirit and in truth, both overstanding, standing.
Yes. Shabuot Tov, Tawah, beautifully good, seven strong to come. Hashem Yeshua, Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom, Nehitarot.